All right, good afternoon, everybody, on this Tuesday, April 29th. It's the PM team. He's Chris Mueller. Behind the glasses, Donnie Football. I'm Andrew Filippone, and you at 412-928-9370. This is the Drew Aller year, says Shador Sanders' surrogate dad, Mel Kiper Jr., on Adam Schefter's podcast, talking about what we have to look forward to when the draft's in town next year. Because every Steelers fan is doing the same exact thing. They think the Steelers will pick a quarterback in the first round to celebrate the draft here. They punted on a quarterback until Will Howard in the sixth round. Aaron Rodgers, if he comes here, is still 41 years old. And even though a select few of us think Mason Rudolph can play, there aren't many of us who think he's actually going to get the opportunity, or he won't make enough of the opportunity to keep the Steelers from taking a quarterback in the first round. And there you have Mel Kiper talking about Drew Aller being, right now in his mind, the guy who has the best chance of being the top quarterback off the board.
That does not
inspire
me.
Good afternoon, everybody.
That doesn't inspire me. Hi, Pony. Hi, Don.
And to back that up, I was at a very nice dinner last night with a couple of my buddies from FanDuel.
Who a couple came of your blue-collar buddies.
Well, they came in to play Oakmont as part of their hospitality event for people that are sponsors for the U.S. Open. Had a bad caddy, unlike you. Had a big-time caddy situation there.
Okay.
Right off the bat, got off on a very wrong foot with caddy.
Would you say that these are the kind of guys who are easy to get along with?
They're fun people.
Okay.
They're fun. They're fun and fancy-free.
And not like the kind of guys who are busting balls and it might get misinterpreted at first. Like, they're just fun.
I think they could do that, yes.
Okay.
But either way, I mean, these aren't guys that are going out there thinking they're Lee Trevino and Sam Snead. Okay, they're going to respect the game of golf, but not take it too seriously.
Okay.
So they're in town. We go out to dinner afterwards. And while we're at dinner, by the way, someone in Pittsburgh sports was also at the restaurant and gave me the evil eye for 2 hours.
You didn't notice that evil eye, though.
Oh, no, I kept looking.
You were looking at your phone watching a sporting event.
I kept looking. Well, the games weren't as good last night. Cavs
you didn't
and Heat
want to
was
watch
a blowout.
You didn't want to watch Cavs Heat?
And
Heat culture, baby.
The lightning didn't blow up in my face until there was about a minute left in the game.
Uh-huh.
But evil eye from a Pittsburgh sports.
Sports media or sports?
I'm not going to say. Oh. I'm gonna force you guys to guess.
I don't want to play this game.
Okay, then we don't have to play
right.
It. But either way.
Okay, was it a manager? I think it was probably Shelton.
Donnie, would you like to wager a guess here? Evil eye for 2 hours.
There's no way it's Tomlin.
2 hours of evil
Absolutely
eye.
Absolutely.
You don't
no
think
chance.
Tomlin would give me the evil eye?
No, Travis I think Williams. He would give you. I think he would give you a pair of evil eyes. I just think that like it would be impossible to hide the fact that Tomlin was out and about
now,
and you were in the same.
I'm
place.
Disappointed. You said Travis. I think I get along with Travis fine. Now he kind of blew me off on opening day, but I would be very disappointed if it was 2 hours of evil eye.
Derek
from Travis
Shelton
Williams.
is my first guess because you like pretty much every other person with a pulse. Has called for his job, I don't know, 100 times in the last 10 months. So that's guess number one.
Okay. Donnie, do you want to throw a name out there? Oh, you did. Travis Williams. I already shot that one down.
Why don't you get it? Donnie gets a mulligan pick because he hasn't shot Shelton down.
You
throw
don't get mulligans at Oakmont, by the way. You hit that ball in the church pew bunkers, you got to play that ball out of the church pew bunkers.
I think Mulsey's right.
You're both going Shelton. Okay. I'll report back later with an answer.
Tony had a little pause when you said Shelton.
He's a pretty good poker face over there, but occasionally I know when I've snuck in a little liver shot.
So
there.
We're at this nice restaurant, and okay. These guys work for FanDuel. Right now, in certain places, you can already bet on who is going to be the number one pick in next year's draft.
Yep.
Arch Manning is the favorite. The second favorite is Drew Aller, the Penn State quarterback. Now, for everybody out there listening, how would you feel about that exact scenario? If I told you guys that the Steelers were going to either have their first losing season under Tomlin and stay where they are and pick the Penn State quarterback Drew Aller in the first round, or they have a so-so season, but with all the draft capital they have from comp picks, etc., they're able to move up and take him. If that's what 2025 yields, Aller is the Steelers' next quarterback. How do we feel about it? Donnie, we'll start with you.
I would say lukewarm. I feel like he, actually won't be the number one guy by the time we get to that point, which could mean he falls right into the Steelers' lap because we know the Steelers won't be bad enough to be right at the top.
So if he gets drafted by the Steelers, it's not like when you and your buddies were in that bar on the South Side and Kenny Pickett got picked and the place erupted. That would not be a reaction to
But I mean, myself Aller. And everybody else in there looks and now feels like idiots given how that all went. So maybe...
So this is like who saying we won't get fooled again? Was that the Who?
Yeah.
Yes.
So that it's one of those situations for you then.
Well, maybe it's just more, I'll give this guy a chance because last time I thought our guy would be great and he was the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Then you are already, as a Penn State alum that hates Penn State football, you are making it sound, Chris, like this would be a horrible chain of events. If you said to pass on 2025 because the prize, the pot at the end of the rainbow of gold is Drew Aller, that already is making you go through some facial expressions over there that look like you're trying to force out a crap that's been stuck in there for days.
Very evocative from you. I appreciate that. Let me just point out why before. One reason I'm not looking forward to it is the same people who decided that Kenny Pickett sucked before he actually played a down of pro football because he was a Pitt guy.
Yeah.
We're going to get that same stupid war in reverse. Penn State people will tell you, even if they have dogged Drew Aller so far in his Penn State career, that he's the next big thing. While Pitt people, even if they have no idea what kind of player he is, will tell you he's going to suck. So I'm not looking forward to that. Just a couple games I would want to cite. Because Drew Aller passes the eye test, the get-off-the-bus test, you know, 6'5", whatever, 225, 230, has running ability, has a big arm. Drew Aller against Michigan, two times. He completed 15 total passes out of 33 attempts for 107 yards and one touchdown in two games against Michigan, games that they lost by 24 and 9, respectively.
Mm.
In a pair of games against Iowa State, Drew Aller.
Iowa State?
Or Ohio State, sorry. Yeah, Ohio State. I don't know why I said Iowa. A pair of 20-13 and then a 20-12 loss. He completed 30 of 62 passes in those games for a touchdown and an interception. So those are the two creme de la creme opponents on that schedule every year. 0-4. Just like Franklin, can't beat the best teams. When you look and you try to sort through, okay, what are the best games Drew Aller has played? Iowa at Maryland, he was good against Boise, three touchdowns, kind of a not a game manager performance, but not huge numbers otherwise. Kent State, Massachusetts, he was, I thought, good, not great at times against Oregon in the conference title game, didn't make enough plays. Smokes Purdue, beats up a bad West Virginia team or an average West Virginia team. Good numbers against Bowling Green. My point in bringing all this up, Pony, is like, where are these starts for this guy who's got every physical tool you could ask for? Where are the games against big-time, true, like, peer opponents where Drew Aller looked like one of the best players on the field and a difference maker?
And yet Mel Kiper, who we all take with a gigantic grain of salt after the Shedeur Sanders fiasco, is saying right now he feels like Aller is going to be the best quarterback in next year's draft.
He's a toolsy player, which I do. I would rather take a risk on a toolsy player than a guy who's got a pretty defined ceiling. Like he's.
It sounds like those tools break against good teams. It sounds like he can't use the hammer and the screwdriver.
The only thing I'm going to tell you is the only grace I'm going to give him is I think he is coached by a collective coaching staff that craps their pants and pees their pants before those big games even start. And so I think he is hamstrung by that. Like, if you were just asking me in a vacuum.
So you get Drew Aller away from James Franklin
maybe.
And give him Mike Tomlin and all of a sudden, hocus pocus,
he goes,
you've got a great
quarterback? No, he probably goes from college James Franklin to pro James Franklin in that regard.
Right.
I would still rather take the swing on a guy who you know has all the physical gifts to play the position.
I know, but this sounds like
a
long-winded way of you saying this
my guy
is
not... Lenoris Sellers. Give me Lenoris Sellers of that group. Kiper mentioned his name. I saw Derek Bell, Operation Shutdown, put up a highlight of Lenoris Sellers basically getting hit in the face, throwing a 60-yard ball to a receiver who was very open, but it's a ball that like Kenny wouldn't have gotten 35 yards down the field.
If our show got moved to Charlotte or to some Southeast Conference market, we would talk about Lenoris Sellers more.
Yes.
This is Mel Kiper bringing up the guy that plays at Penn State, who everybody here knows.
It would be a big thumbs down
for
me.
As the apple of the NFL draft community's eye going into this season, as potentially the best quarterback available. And I agree with you. If 2026, if the long game here is that the Steelers eventually end up with Penn State's quarterback, that ain't it for me. And that's not because, you know, I'm pro-Pitt or anti-Penn State. I've watched the interception at the end of the Notre Dame playoff game. Who sees that and thinks, that's our guy? Let's go to battle with him. Let's beat Lamar Jackson twice a year and Joe Burrow twice a year with this guy. Like, it's baffling to me. I think you hit on it. He kind of has like Trevor Lawrence, Andrew Luck-like tools and skills that seduce people into thinking that there's a great quarterback there. I don't think there is.
I've just never seen it all come together against an opponent where I would go, wow, okay, like that is a body of evidence. That is one major tally mark in his column.
So if this is like where it ends for the Steelers, like this, like the goal is that you suck or stink for Drew Aller, or that you give up your draft capital for Drew Aller? No, thank you. And like, there's plenty of Penn State fans who listen to this station who can, like, I think, attempt to talk intelligently and honestly about this. I'm guessing they would even say, yeah, he's okay for my college team, but I don't want him quarterbacking my NFL team. The same way you said of Kenny Pickett, yeah, thank you for bringing me an ACC championship at Pitt, but I really don't want you to be the Steelers franchise quarterback. Same thing I think should apply here. But when I heard Kuiper say that on Schefter's podcast, I spit out the smoothie that had creatine and other things in it that in my
He's
mouth.
He's running at 6 a.m. He's eating big dinners with
I'm
big
like,
wigs
what
at
are
FanDuel.
We doing
He's
here?
He's got creatine smoothies, Donnie. Are we sure
Drew
Pony doesn't
Aller?
Have any NFL eligibility? Could he get drafted to play quarterback?
I don't even think Drew Aller's better than Sean Clifford and McGloin and McSorley. From watching, though, maybe he's a better pro prospect because of his
size
and
arm strength.
But as far as like how he played there, I don't think he's better than any of those jabronis.
So I would we've got a couple people on YouTube already chiming in. We've got Adam. I'm a Penn State fan. I don't see him being a first round pick. That's like a personal opinion. Comes up short in big games. Predictably, Barber football focus is being cited by many YouTube commenters, not even Johnny himself, as not being a fan of Drew Aller. They think that the Steelers, BFF thinks the Steelers got their quarterback of the future
obviously
in the sixth round. Yes. But even the one I did want to bring up is this Adam on YouTube, because I think he, you know what, Pony, you're going to love this. When we needed a big play in big games, this is the Penn State fan, it was Tyler Warren taking snaps under center sometimes, or shotgun wildcat snaps, not Drew Aller. Think about that.
Ball's at their own 28. Quick snap for Aller, looking left. Can't get it out. Now pressure coming. Aller throws. Loose ball. Yes. Intercepted. Christian Gray picks it off at the 42-yard line. Notre Dame will get the ball back with 33 seconds left in the game.
You could just tell. He was coming out here. I said, if you're going to let Aller throw, he's going to throw some balls that can be taken away. And they do it.
One of the few times in my life I was actually rooting for Notre Dame. Just full disclosure. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Yeah, text line saying we were just Penn State haters.
Oh, there's a surprise. I mean, I am one, so guilty as charged. I can also be a hater and be accurate.
If the end game is the Steelers take Drew Aller in 2026, and that's the quarterback messiah, how will that make Steelers fans feel? 412-928-9370. Because on Adam Schefter's podcast today, Mel Kiper Jr. said he thinks Aller is the best quarterback of this, you know, robust, amazing 2026 quarterback class that's coming out.
Based on what, though? Like, I feel like the best thing you could say about Aller is if you were like trying to cast a movie about football using only college football players to actually fill the roles, you'd be like, well, that guy looks like a quarterback.
I think Mel said it's because Aller's friends with Shedeur Sanders. So that, you know, your stock
Jax
goes
Ulbrich,
way up.
Already getting ready for another call, gearing up.
Well, if he's also going to be Mel Kiper's number one quarterback, the Steelers could probably get him in round five,
good
right?
Good point. Yeah, save your picks and wait until day three.
Adrian has come back from the ashes and said, who the hell won caller of the year on the YouTube comments? As long as I beat Anthony, I'm good. Well, I got bad news for you, Adrian. Anthony body bagged you and destroyed the entire field on the way to winning. and you were seeing Adrian as possibly the most unpopular of the eight seeds.
Take some calls here in a second. I did say that there was something that came out of this draft from a Pittsburgh standpoint, not the draft coming here, the Steelers, that blew my mind.
Yep.
Alan Saunders, the Saunders umbrella, as you like to call it. I got to give this guy credit because I haven't seen anybody else cite this stat, and I think it's honestly like a remarkable one. This past draft that ended on Saturday was the first draft in three decades where a kid from the Whippeel didn't get picked.
Yeah, I saw that. I did.
31 years.
Ends a hell of a run. Kind of indicative, though, of what you have to do now if you're running, especially Pitt, where they used to try with Wani and everything else to put a fence around the Whippeel and get Whippeel kids and build the program that way.
Also, what the hell happened in 1994 where there wasn't a kid from the Whippeel that got drafted? Because it was a 31-year-old streak. What happened back then in the early 90s?
Because that was when you had, like, LeVar and Brandon Short going to college, so they were a couple of years away. Like, Eric Kasparovich was not a pro player, and he would have also just been graduating back then himself.
Yeah.
So what the hell was going on with that, like, class of 1990?
I don't know. MJ Devonshire was picked last year. He extended the streak from Aliquippa by the Raiders.
I'm trying to think of Whippeel kids who even...
Well, the kid, Donovan
Yacomelli was a guy. Somebody in the hallway asked me about what happened with him if somebody picked him.
Donovan McMillan from Pitt, who's from Peters Township, he didn't get drafted. I think he was like the lone possibility this year. So, kind of a bummer. I mean, as you guys know, I love those local kids. I was invited to Aaron Donald's draft party. So, whenever there's somebody from the Pittsburgh area who's in the mix for
the
draft,
way,
I always support them.
Speaking of Aaron Donald, so I put out a tweet today, Donnie, I think you saw it. It was one of my favorite, just like little observations, and I'm guilty of it, is that on day three of the draft, everyone gets like ultra hyped about their team's day three picks because they think, oh yeah, that guy's a steal. Like nobody else really.
Like Will Howard.
Yeah, just Will Howard. I mean, YA Black, like anybody that was day three. Like you talk yourself into the guy being great, even
sure,
though the percentages suggest most of these guys wash out in the end. From like rounds 4 through 7, Doran also took small offense to that. And he tweeted me so. Some guy goes, yeah, I get about 70% of day three picks across the NFL, right? Once the Aaron Donald thing happened, and I was like, people dogpiled the guy and was like, oh yeah, he's the 13th pick in the draft, not exactly day three. The guy said, though, he identifies day three picks and gets about 70% of the day three guys correct.
That like he guessing says, that they're going to be great players?
Yes. And I said, well, if you get 70% of day three picks correct, you should be not only an assistant scout or whatever, you should be a GM running a team now.
I think 100 Aaron Donalds would beat the gorilla, Donnie.
I would take him. We had that whole discussion.
Who's him,
earlier.
The gorilla?
No.
No, 100 Aaron Donalds.
Okay.
The problem
is
a couple
be a special human.
A couple Aaron Donalds have to sacrifice that, like, you're going to die a painful death in the initial assault on that gorilla. It's going to swing its, like, arm or elbow at you and maybe decapitate
you. I think Taylor Lewan had the exact right strategy. I saw him mention this on his Bussin podcast.
Mm.
He said, a few guys got to go for the eyes, a few guys got to go for the balls. And if you can take the eyes and balls out, you're in great shape. But you need like a concerted effort to blind the gorilla and go after his testicles.
At this point, it's kind of cruel to the gorilla, a nurturing individual. I mean, we all remember Harambe and like the fact that, yes, you had to shoot Harambe. There was a kid there, but it was probably going to try to take care of the kid.
Oh, Mike Francesa remembers Harambe.
Yeah.
That happened on my wedding day.
At the Cincinnati Zoo, right?
That happened on my wedding day. Like, my grooms were like, you won't believe this. They had
Man,
to
we
shoot
were
this
sweating
gorilla.
Like bastards
I'm
on your
still,
wedding
I'm,
day.
I'm
Holy
still taking
cow, was it hot.
I'm taking the gorilla over
Donnie,
most
yeah.
situations.
My wedding day, the by gorilla. The way, as Pony puts it, sweating like bastards, he's right. Picked an unair-conditioned church on May 28th and said,
man,
we're rolling the dice. It could either be 59 and cloudy or night. It was the hottest day of 2016.
Mostly looked like Sean Miller coaching an NCAA tournament.
Dead ass.
Day.
My brother, who is the best man, brings in, he comes into the back of the church with a giant, like, you know, full sized cooler you'd put beers in. All that's in it are like terry cloth towels and ice water. That's all there
you know
was.
No, we used to do in college.
He was icing me down like I was suffering from heat stroke, Don.
We used to just put ice in the tub in college and then fill the tub up with beer.
Great move.
Did you guys ever do that in Waynesburg?
We never did it, but I've seen that move.
I got one more since we're here for the people in this show. Little chemistry thing. If you don't have your favorite cold beer, you're like trying to throw a college party, right?
Yep.
And they only have your favorite beer and it's warm, so you buy it and you're figuring out, how do I cool this? tons of water and ice in a big bucket, right? Then pour a bunch of salt in and stir it around. Dump the beer in. It'll be cold in 10 minutes.
I've never even thought about that.
But the salt messes with the way like the water and the ice interact. And it
Rock
makes
salt
it get,
or no, like regular table salt?
You pour a bunch of table salt in and it lowers the freezing point of the water so it can sit in like ultra cold water that won't turn to ice.
Here's Hunter in Houston, my neighbor. Hello, Hunter.
Hey, Pony. Hey, Malzie. Donnie, thanks for answering. How's it going, guys?
It's great, Hunter. What do you got for us today?
So, I am not a Drew Aller guy. As I told you guys, I have a ton of friends who love Penn State. I'm an Ohio State guy, so I love the Will Howard pick when we got him, Sawyer, as well. Why is Kiper, who gets it wrong and right sometimes in his profession, that's inevitable, I feel like, but he's the same guy who had Sanders as his top quarterback who just went in the fifth or sixth round to Cleveland after they took a terrible Dylan Gabriel, who I don't think is even better than Sanders.
Yep.
So, and two, why would I think that Drew Aller, when I watch him play my Buckeyes every year, and he's terrible? I don't think he's good. He's Kenny Pickett in a Penn State jersey, pretty much. Maybe a souped-up version, if you want, sure.
Wow.
But
now,
it's pretty much the same thing.
Comparison.
Little game man. No, it's a little game manager is what he is. He's Alex Smith at Penn State right now. Let's just call it what it is.
I don't think that that's from the playoffs. That's not really that far off. Here's the three playoff games from Aller. 13-22 for 127 against SMU. I stupidly picked SMU to win that game. I'll own that. Boise, I called them to blow out the Broncos. I was right about that. 13-25, 171. He did throw three touchdowns. And then Notre Dame, 12-23, 135, and a massive pick to lose the game.
I was going to say, he lost them the game where, like, for most of the game, they were physically dominating Notre Dame and looked like the clearly, if narrowly, superior team because they couldn't score. And then he just broke their backs with that. I mean, the question you have to ask yourself, and I think this is me being fair about Aller, the question you have to ask yourself is there a good player in there waiting to be broken free from pretty awful coaching, which is par for the course at Penn State when it comes to
offense?
But
they make it out like that offensive coordinator from Kansas is Bill Walsh's kid.
I know, but Pony, it goes back to when I was there. They had 1 year with Mike Robinson where like the offense looked kick-ass. And most other years, if it's a pro prospect type of quarterback, they find a way to turn him into a pumpkin.
What's America's sweetheart, Joe Smeltzer make of this? Does he see Aller as a stud?
I don't know.
He covers the team. He's very objective at it.
I don't know how he sits on it right now, but it just
if he hasn't been vocal about it, then we know that he's not hugely high on the guy because you'd have heard it by now,
yeah,
don't you think?
That's probably fair. It just made me think of who was terrific during the college football playoff.
Listen to Joe Starkey and Bob Pompeiani every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contest runs every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Dan Zangrilli, Pirates Pre and Post, brought to you by Keystone Custom Apparel, back with us. Dan, were you a baseball card collector back in the day?
A little bit, yeah. A little bit, but not crazy.
Now, did like Fleer and Donruss and Topps have like a blood feud as the three big companies?
Upper Deck.
Oh, there's the fourth horseman of the card apocalypse.
I remember pulling a lot of Upper Decks.
I remember I'd always have a lot of Bip Roberts cards. They just stuff Bip Roberts in every one of these packs.
One of my best friends from college who was rich but was very good at hiding it recently told me that his dad owned Fleer.
What?
He was rich.
Just dropped it into casual
conversation. Wait, how is one good at hiding that they are rich? Like, he's drinking cheap beer with you guys when he could afford, like, the best of the best?
Drove like a Toyota.
So maybe he just had parents who wanted to keep him grounded a little bit. I give the parents more credit than your buddy, unless he turned out like a really good dude.
So talk about like simpler times. There was this old guy in the neighborhood that opened up his home, his garage, and his basement to like this makeshift card museum.
Mm-hmm.
And he would like, sounds terrible now, he would like invite all the kids to come and like look at
cards.
Baseball cards, yes. Yeah. Like I said, a much simpler time back
then. I mean, presumably he didn't shut the garage door behind
them. That's when, you know, like,
parents probably just standing.
So he was showing you, like, cards from the 1950s and 60s
100%.
And stuff?
What was the coolest one you remember seeing?
I remember his name was Howard Bell. Coolest guy ever. He was chewing on a cigar, an unlit cigar, speaking of the days of yore. Mm. Like, it was wonderful.
Okay, so you went into that garage, normal and in different times.
Yes.
What is it? Is there one card that stuck out to you? Is there one you remember? Like, wow, holy crap.
Like, there's this...
Duke Snider or something.
A DiMaggio card, yep.
Okay.
Man. And then there were some, like, autographs that were crazy.
Now, did Howie have a wife and kids? Was he a...
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, that makes it very normal. Yeah,
yeah. He was like family. Up the road from my grandparents' house, and you know,
Pony,
you'd
have nerded out big time over that.
I had a neighbor across the street named Mike. His wife's nickname was Pudgy. You could probably guess why. And he would invite me over, and he would just drink scotch and watch The Twilight Zone nonstop. In AMC, he liked black and white.
So wait, how old were you for this?
Probably like 5 or 6.
You were 5 or 6 years old, and he would invite you over.
Yeah.
His wife are sitting there. He's getting drunk on scotch.
Yeah, and he's like watching Creature from the Black Lagoon for like the 150th time.
Says a lot about Pony.
Yeah.
A lot of formative stuff for Pony. Dan just sounds baffled
Dan,
right now.
Dan, why did Derek Shelton bring Colin Holderman to that game Saturday night? Have we been given a sufficient explanation on that?
No, I mean, I guess lack of options.
Lack of options? The whole bullpen was fresh. Skeens had gone 7 the night before.
Yeah, no. I guess Lawrence being down like screws them from a right-hander's perspective. And I think all of a sudden David Bednar might be the closer, right?
Well, Pony needs Let's that go. For our Bucko auction house because he
might be.
He didn't look bad.
Right.
I didn't think he looked bad, Dan.
And they bring him in. What was it? Friday they brought him in, right?
Yep.
For the save. And I think Santana was used. I think it was like 3 of 4. Like there was some usage with the right-handers. There was an issue between Santana and Bednar.
But I don't care, man. Holderman, every time he's come in, has been bad, and he's right off an injury, and he's in a leverage situation in Dodger Stadium.
And this is why the Lawrence thing really stinks, and this is why I think they're going to have to really rethink all the left-handers that they have in their bullpen.
Why not make Burrows a starter and put Majinski back into the bullpen where he was good?
So
I
talk a lot about this on the shows basically after every Majinski start.
Because they're usually bad.
They are, but there is a stuff profile that I think they just want to turn over this stone and give it enough sample size. And plus they need a placeholder until Chandler gets here, which I think is sooner rather than later. So Majinski is lined up to pitch tomorrow. Probably is going to be his last or maybe second to last start because Chandler's basically on an identical Paul Skeens track. So the reason why.
Oh, so you think.
When's he going to be here?
I was going to
ask
you. Week?
Yeah, I was going to ask you when he's going to be here. So that would suggest you think 2 weeks maybe?
I mean, maybe even as recently as. Because Skeens debuted on the 11th.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Could it be this weekend against San Diego? That might be a bit aggressive. Let me take a quick peek at the schedule here. They have the road trip after the Padres come to town. So could it be the next homestand?
And they would want to debut him at home. They wouldn't want to give him the easy first start on the road. They feel like big enough prospect and can handle that.
Yeah, maybe the Atlanta series.
All right.
Because then you got then you're on the road again with the Mets, the Phillies, and then you come back with Cincy. Yeah, I would be okay with throwing him.
Dan,
in
Dan, where does
them.
He slot in? I mean, he's not Skeens, but is
should he
is
be their second?
Is
best
he a
pitcher,
better
though?
Prospect than Jones?
I think he's probably comparable. He's right there with Jones. Maybe a touch better.
Isn't he more reliable in the sense of he's less likely if you go by body type to get hurt because he's a bigger dude than Jones?
Yeah,
you'd like to think so.
He's lankier, and I think that there's space to put on some weight, some good weight for Chandler.
Stuff wise, where does he like compare? Because Jones's stuff is electrifying, except it's like it takes every fiber of his being to throw it.
I mean, it's right. It's probably Skeens and then 2 and 2A with Jones and Chandler.
I gotta
They're
be honest,
really good.
I don't even mind bad weight. I thought Sabathia did better when he was fat. I thought Bartolo did better when he was fat. I thought Levon Hernandez did better when he was fat.
Bartolo's stuff wasn't exactly helped by being fat.
You put pounds on these guys, it ain't the end of the world.
So you want just
look at him,
just donuts and triple-decker burgers.
I'm not saying I want it, but I'm saying it's not the end of the world if the guy gets a little chunky.
Give me a break. When Bartolo was skinny.
It's baseball. We ain't talking about running the 100-meter dash here.
When Bartolo Colon was skinny coming up with Cleveland, he was throwing 100. When he became fat Colon, he was throwing 87 and trying to dot it on the.
Yes, and it was incredible.
Because he basically did the right-handed Tom Glavin thing where he'd miss the plate by 2 inches and the umps would give it to him every time.
Can I enter David Bednar as counter-evidence?
But we haven't seen. But David's always been that size. We haven't seen like Bednar. He's always been husky Bednar.
A lot of soft tissue injuries.
I thought you couldn't pull fat or strain fat.
Doesn't it stand to reason?
He's the workout guy. You're on Awaken 180.
True.
I mean, I'm talking to two beacons of health here.
No, this guy's talking about he's subtly dropping in. I was running at 6 a.m.
If you could put together You could make 100 Pirates. They were all the same guy. So like 100 Jeff Kings or 100 Barry Bonds.
100 Jeff Kings would wait till they got 10 years or whatever and then peace out on the 10-year
and it's those 100 Pirates who are going to fight the gorilla. Who would you want?
I'd want 100 Ed Spriggs.
Oh, he was a badass.
What? Really?
Yeah, give me 100. He was a badass.
He was?
Who was the one dude from the older...
Ed Sprague?
Who was the one dude
You're
from the...
You're so full of it right now,
right, who was the
F
one
off.
Dude from the back
Ed
in the day?
Ed Sprague?
Who was the one dude from back in the day people said was the tough guy? That we
I
all
mean,
laughed
Kendall.
At.
I mean,
no.
Ed Ott.
No, I, if you
Ed Ott. Ooh, Ed Ott. That's Ed a pull. That's one. A pull.
Well, hold on. If you were gonna say Kendall, then we have to say John Wehner above Kendall.
Come on now. Yeah.
You know, Wehner said was a
Wehner's a badass.
He's Carrick crazy. He's from Carrick.
You know, he said,
you give me like 27-year-old pissed off John Wehner, like he had a bad day. Give me 100 of those guys.
So you think 100 Wehners beat the gorilla?
I think 100 Wehners can lick the gorilla.
100 angry Wehners, sure.
Wehner told me the toughest guy he played with was Dan Mascelli.
That's right. One. That's
yeah,
right.
I've
that's...
heard that too.
Yep.
And he said that. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, I've heard him. That like,
yeah, you did not
clicked.
Want to mess with that.
Listen,
guy.
There's got to be clicked. A crazy.
How
mean,
about Marte?
I mean, well, I mean,
body type.
How about Kyle Farnsworth?
I mean, how about Fam?
No.
Speaking Farnsworth, of rolling the dice,
no, because. No,
what is he, when is he going to serve that suspension, by the way?
I don't know. It's a roll of the dice.
I can't believe
he's Farnsworth. It's just rolling dice.
Farnsworth's probably the one because he transitioned into professional fighting. Like, he actually became...
MMA?
Yeah, he tried to become, like, an MMA guy.
Were you ever around him in the clubhouse? I heard he was a specimen,
maniac.
Kyle Farnsworth.
He won, and now I think he's just all syringed
roided
up.
Out.
Yeah. No. Or he played with Farnsworth, and he had some good Farnsworth stories.
I will also tell you... If you're giving me 100 pirates from history who are not going to fare well against the gorilla, you imagine 100 Polancos stumbling around out there trying to get one over
but
on him.
But his reach. But his reach.
But the first Polanco runs at the gorilla to try to take him on, and he just slips and falls. Gorilla doesn't even bother with him. 100 Kevin Polkoviches.
Ooh. Low center of gravity to the ground. You can get him for sure.
Wouldn't you, hold on, though. So it's weapons. I was going to say it's weapons free. I just say 100 Skeens. They all throw baseballs at it. As hard as they can.
I don't think. I do think 100 Skeens could still beat the
gorilla.
He's
a 6'6", 230.
Trained at Air Force.
Does Skeens have that dog in him?
And I think they'd work well together. You know what I mean? Like, I think the collective effort would be strong there.
Wally Backman? 100 Wally Backmans?
Crazy enough.
Mm-hmm.
How about 100 pissed off Lloyd McClendons?
Mm.
All right, Dan. Take this into the clubhouse today if you want.
There's one person in this building. I get outside of Doran. On the fan staff. So we say 100 Dorans would have obviously the best chance. Fan staffers, 100 of whom?
Mm.
How about Hathorn?
No.
How about Donnie?
Yeah, I mean...
I think Donnie's tenacious, pugnacious. He's like all muscle now.
Yeah.
I think I'm going...
Chris is making a strong case
I think
for
I'm
you,
going
Don.
Chedrick right now. Low man wins...
I think that gorilla is just knocking my head clear off its shoulders.
Yeah, but there's 100 of you. If one goes down, there's 99 more.
If one Donnie football is decapitated, 99 shall rise up.
Just one man with courage. That's all we need.